Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. This is The Hump. It is February 19th, 2025. I'm Sean Ross Sapp. I am joined by Jimmy Van, who I apparently will see next week, allegedly.
Apparently. You said you're waiting to find out some stuff first. I told you I got a cameraman ready to go.
Yeah. Well, let's add some context to that first, sir. We're going to film a new video, hopefully an updated LJN video, because there are some videos that I look back on and I'm like, you know what? Those are still performing well for Fightful. Try to get into the evergreen space. And the video of your LJN collection is one of them. And that's before I was into the collecting sphere and had heard some of the stories surrounding some of these figures and all that. So we're going to do an updated version of that. And at least we hope to, pending some scheduling things while I'm in Toronto, and pending the idea that I even get there, Jimmy, because you guys are, well, not you guys, but an hour wherever the hell away from you are, where you are, they got hit with some storms, I hear.
Oh, I got hit too, about 2 feet of snow, Sean, in a week.
Woof.
Yeah, 2 feet of snow. I remember stories from clients of mine, Atlanta, they'd get like 2 inches and they're calling in the National Guard. We got about 2 feet in the last week.
I'm told probably no media that day, so I'll be able to head out there maybe fairly early. You sent in a car for me, Jimmy?
It's called Uber.
Oh, my God. Enjoy that expense report. But, guys, if you're here, leave a thumbs up on this video, not just this video, all our videos. I know it's something that you hear and you're just like, he's just saying that. No, it helps us so much. It helps the algorithm find us. It helps a lot of stuff like that. If you're new to the channel, we do post shows every night. We got a bunch of news shows. We have started with these short info docs. We're dropping a new one on Thursday. It's TNA's failed attempt to enter the Monday Night War. We've also got a couple other ones like that. You might see some of our little commercials on YouTube now that we've jumped into that are doing well. But if you want your question or statement read on the air, this is as interactive as we get. On Fightful, send in super chats, send in humper chats here on youtube.com/Fightful or humperchats.com. We're going to talk about rings. We're going to talk about NXT, all kinds of good stuff. And a reminder, FightfulSelect.com, best $6 a month in the business. I do Q&As there every single week. Jimmy, what you got going on? What's up?
My first question for you is what airline are you taking to come to Canada?
Hold on and I'll tell you, because what I usually do, or what I've done every single time, is I would drive up to Cincinnati and I would take the direct Air Canada flight to Toronto.
I was going to say, if you're taking Delta, all kinds of stories about Delta. Did you hear about that?
Oh, buddy, did I ever? Of course. the stories. What about the videos?
Right. The videos. Yeah, exactly.
My God.
I thought of you when I saw it because it was a smaller plane. Yeah.
Thanks for that. But this time I'm flying out of Lexington. I'm going to Charlotte and then going from Charlotte to Toronto. I just don't want to deal with the hour, 20-minute drive up to Cincinnati and then the one back after I land.
But what's the airline?
American Airlines.
Okay.
American Airlines to Toronto. Let's see if I'll make it home because I go through Detroit to get home.
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
I'm sure American Airlines can be just fine.
Delta on the way back.
Delta on the way back. Awesome. Apparently, not that I'm defending anybody, but apparently it was some kind of a airplane that's associated with Delta, like some boutique thing. That's what I read. So long as you don't have that, you'll be just fine, Sean.
Boy. Oh, well, listen, out of Lexington. Well, I guess it'll TBD, but, I'll tell you that among other things has me being like, well, how am I gonna, like, do I really want to go to Vegas? Probably not. But, by God, Jimmy, lots going on in the wrestling world these days, including some very stupid stuff. But Meet Norma says, both of y'all heads look smaller. Please explain.
Is that a joke? I don't get it.
It's a ring joke.
It's a ring joke. Okay.
It's a ring joke.
Do you want to start with that? So, you know, on Sunday, I was offline all day on Sunday. And didn't get to see Grand Slam live because, you know, my weekends, I don't watch a lot of wrestling. And I didn't get to see it live. I was catching up on Sunday. It seemed fine to me. I was really interested in Harley Quinn's match. Was checking that
out. Very good match. Really good match.
I loved the Adam Copeland sing-along. Thought that was fantastic.
Excuse me, sir. His name is Cope.
Right. The Cope sing-along. Thought that was cool.
You piece of shit. You get it right.
I suck. Man, I'm going to be over the edge, as Ricky Saints likes to say. But as soon as I go on Twitter, I see a bunch of people shitting on Grand Slam, but they're not crapping on the matches, and they're not crapping on. Yeah, they didn't crap on anything. They crept on the size of the ring, and I thought, huh? And then there was actually a guy, because I commented, so I found out what happened, and I'll turn it to you in a minute, but I found out what happened, and I commented on it about this is really nothing, and some guy actually tagged me and said, oh, yeah, you journalists, you were wrong again, because you didn't read the report that AEW fucked up logistically, and they didn't get the ring there on time. And I thought, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us? QT Marshall, to his credit, he commented on the whole thing too. But tell us the truth, Sean Rossap.
Here's the truth. AEW never planned on shipping a ring over there. Never.
Why would you?
Never. It was never an idea, never a plan. It wasn't something we were going to do. I don't know how or whatever they did for All In and Wales and all that stuff. But other than that, this is the first time they've been overseas. AEW, which was a surprise to me. I didn't know. I thought they used an 18 by 18 ring for years. And then a person in the company goes, you know, we've used a 20 by 20, like, the whole time, right? And I was like, oh, I didn't know that, actually, because I don't give a shit. How could you possibly care? 18 by 18s have been used by WCW, Ring of Honor in the past, TNA, almost every company.
I feel like WWE did once. I feel like they had a show.
As Nick Nemeth pointed out, they have. They've done it a number of times.
Thought so.
They used a 16 by 16 on Shotgun back in the day.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, this is nothing new. 18 by 18s are completely sufficient. In fact, the 20 by 20s are the ones that are out of the ordinary. Like, they're the ones that are a little bit out of the norm compared to what people wrestle with. But if you can wrestle in an 18 by 18, you can go at a 20 by 20. I've worked in everything from 16 by 16 up to 20 by 20. Outside of adjusting the way that you hit the ropes a little bit, there's not that much of a difference. But there was a person who I'm not going to name because just not going to lied and said that AEW had messed up the logistics. They never planned on shipping a ring over there. In fact, I found out the process of everything. Rocky Romero hit up Robbie Eagles, who was actually on the show, which continues the time-honored tradition of if you get somebody a ring, you end up on the show.
Right.
And saw messages to and from the person who owned the ring saying, nah, it's an 18 by 18 ring. Like that's, and it goes the surface area from corner to corner. But, saw those messages as well, spoke to talent on the show, including Dustin Rhodes. I straight up asked him. I was like, hey, you've worked in every size ring imaginable. And he goes, that was an 18 by 18 ring. Spoke to the person who ordered the ring aprons, the canvases, everything, all scaled for an 18-foot ring, all planned for an 18-foot ring, and all that stuff. My thing wasn't even the dimensions of the ring. I could give less than of a shit if it was a 12 by 12 ring.
Yeah.
Like, as long as the show is good, I don't really care. I took heavy issue with just lying about, listen, there are plenty of things to criticize AEW about, especially as it pertains to communication and relaying information and all those things. Like, I could, especially as it relates to this event, like the planning, execution, rollout, advertising, the way that AEW wasn't good with people on refunds when the event was switched.
Right.
I mean, they never planned on it being a pay-per-view, but they could have just said, listen, this is not going to be a pay-per-view straight out of the gate. It shouldn't have been like a me thing. The stairs that they used, like, cover them up or something. Like, stool stuff.
A big one for me was Tony, I'm not going to say bragging, but Tony, you know, doing an interview saying, oh, this is going to be the third largest gate we've ever had. When, let's be honest, a lot of people bought tickets because they thought they were getting a stadium show, right? Like, paid a premium price. They didn't just buy tickets. They paid a premium price thinking they were getting a stadium show.
Exactly.
So if I was Tony, I would not be patting myself on the back for the gate when a lot of people paid more than they should have. But at the same time, the crowd seemed to have fun. And again, like, I even saw people criticizing the Cope sing-along. And I thought to myself, but in WWE, so they do it for Randy Orton. Everybody loves it.
What did you say that even Bully Ray was like, yeah, these people are being ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought it was a great moment. And you know that Cope's time is coming, and he knows.
Yeah.
And for him to be able to stand there, I thought it was pretty awesome, you know?
But I mean, like, even about the ring, even Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer were like, who, by the way, have long been involved in overseas tours and the logistics of ring delivery, are like, why would they ship a ring? Why would they do that? Right. Like, it doesn't make sense. WWE usually stores a ring. And I saw a lot of people say, oh, well, Tony Khan's got all kinds of money. It doesn't even come down to money.
Right.
Gee, I wonder, Jimmy, what could possibly go wrong while shipping? Oh, wait, literal fucking pirates can happen. Pirates.
I remember that.
In 2024 and 2025 are an actual concern.
Oh yeah, it's a serious thing for real on the water. Yeah.
Pirates.
Yeah. Remember, I was talking to you off the air and I said, what are they going to do? Are they going to send it by air? Imagine sending all that heavy gear by air.
Yes.
Right?
Not
like you're going to do it by ship to get it to Australia. It just
takes a long time to get over there. Ray says AEW needs to bring out a 30 by 30 ring at Dynamite or at Double or Nothing, which is going to be in Glendale, Arizona. I'm glad they're doing that as well. Thomas, I appreciate your super chat. I'm not going to give that account the shout out, but yes, it says imagine believing that account. DNC Digital says discourse of the ring is strange. If anything, I'm applauding the performers for adapting to the ring and still pulling off a good show. Jimmy, I have a revelation, an exclusive report regarding the gentleman that made up this discourse.
Hmm.
I found out his real name. It's Peter Parker.
Really?
And
guy's name is Peter Parker?
His name's Peter Parker, Jimmy. His real name is Peter Parker. And what I found out was one night there was a wrestling show and he went to this wrestling show. And there was a 16 by 16 ring there. And on his way out, he sees the promoter that put on this show get robbed. And that promoter had actually stiffed him.
Right.
And he said, not my business, buddy.
Right.
Not my business, buddy. But it wasn't anybody that performed. The actual 16 by 16 ring was the one that conducted the robbery, Jimmy. And later on, that 16 by 16 ring killed Peter Parker's uncle. And he has held a vendetta ever since. It's tragic. It's tragic. But listen, you never know what anybody has been through. You just never know.
Do you know if he had to square off against Bonesaw in order to like make a few bucks?
He did. And that's what happened. It was a 16 or was it 18 by 18 ring, but Bonesaw literally sawed through the ring and made it a 16 by 16.
Got it.
And listen, that, like, again, you don't know what these rings have been through either. And it it felt a certain type of way and ended up killing Peter Parker's uncle. And we got the villain origin story that we see today. And now you got people that are sitting there spending their time being like, oh my God, it's a ring. 16 by 16. Man, that thing could have been 10 by 10 if they had the type of show they had that night. I don't care. Complain about the way they executed the show. Complain about the ring steps. It could have had a ramp. It could have had anything like that. I just, like Alex is saying, look, the Tony Khan should make the ring smaller and smaller just to piss people off more. Complaining about a small ring is a new low for the IWC. Well, you know what? Honestly, I'm kind of glad that it happened because it shows you these people are not serious. They are very strange people. Very strange people.
It wasn't really weird. It was almost like, you know, I have to complain about the show, but there's not a lot to complain about. So let's talk about the ring. You know what I mean? And you're right with what you said. Like there were issues with the show going in that you could legitimately take issue with, but the ring is no big deal. And QT Marshall, like I used to do independents, and 18 by 18 was pretty standard. 16 by 16 was pretty standard. QT Marshall said on social media, you have to customize a 20 by 20.
Yeah.
Because everybody typically works in a 16 or an 18. So I didn't see, and somebody, I think in the comments or whatever said, you know, hopefully the guys could adjust. Most of AEW's guys came from the independents. That's what they worked in. Like they're fully used to working in an 18 by 18 ring.
Let me see this message I got from a WWE wrestler. I mean, there were WWE wrestlers that were reaching out and they could not believe how stupid this was. Are these geeks really upset by the ring size or it is a gimmick? I wish we would move to an 18-foot ring.
Oh, really?
It was from a WWE wrestler, yes.
Oh, yeah. They don't like, listen, the extra couple steps they got to take across the ring?
Jimmy, what we learned is it's not always about the size. It's about how you use it, about the performance. And if you want to put on a Grand Slam-level performance, our friends at Blue Chew are here to help. Blue Chew putting its money where its mouth is, offering you a month free. Process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers. Once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. They're made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door. That's right. They'll ship. When some people won't ship, they will ship. You take them anytime, day or night, whether it be after your own personal all-star game or in your regular time slot that you've scheduled ahead of time. Best part, all done online. That means no visit to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Trust me, you want that main event level performance. And BlueChew.com is going to get you there. Make life easier by getting harder and discover your options at BlueChew.com.
And P.S., the Buddy Matthews tweet. Something you got to remember, whenever anybody posts about something in kayfabe, it's not taken seriously.
When he did that, I was like, that's getting deleted.
Right. And then it happened. Yeah.
And I was like, it's getting deleted. And I like Buddy a lot. Like,
he didn't mean anything by it. That's why he was like, oh, smaller ring. He was able to get his foot on the ropes. It was, you know what I mean? Just supposed to be a joke.
Ryan Lambert says, can Blue Chew help with the size of your ring? Listen, it can help with the way that your ring performs. What kind of promotion books a legend like Bonesaw for less than 5 minutes? That is an all-time great wrestler appearance in a movie. It really is. It's phenomenal.
What do you think the best is? If you think about it, I got to say Thunderlips.
I'm not as partial to those movies. So,
I love the Rocky movie so much. Can you think of a better one?
Listen, I liked Paul White and Jingle All the Way. That was a personal favorite.
Yeah,
that was a personal favorite. You know, a little tough to say right now for me.
What about Jesse Ventura and Predator?
Again, a little bit before my time.
You tell me you've seen Predator.
I've seen Predator a little bit before my time.
Okay. Have you seen They Live with Roddy Piper?
Of course I have.
Okay.
Have you seen the parody scene from South Park where they completely redid the fight scene, like frame by frame.
Fight scene. They live. No, no, I don't think I've seen that. No,
it's phenomenal. Oh man, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We have plenty of them. Rock Hard Joel Woods is complaining about the size of the ring instead of picking out the right size engagement ring. Is my fans get
could go in a lot of directions on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, indeed. Somebody said Princess Bride. I forgot about that one. Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nulak City says this whole AEW bad faith fiasco is another example of people just wanting to crap on AEW for a reason. I was getting people telling me that TK messed up and Fletcher had to find him a ring last minute. People need to go outside and find real friends. Yeah, I haven't heard that Fletcher had anything to do with it. Rocky Romero, Robbie Eagles. I mean, I know that they had planned on an 18 by 18 ring. I saw evidence of that.
It's because they were stretching to think of, okay, what wrestler from Australia could this be about?
You know what I mean? Of course. Yeah. And like, to me, it's like, there was so much that you could have criticized AEW about.
Yeah.
I think it speaks to those types of people that they picked that.
Right.
Matt Rain Studio says, hope you guys are doing well. Have there been any updates on the contracts of foreign talent in New Japan? This is a plug for FightfulSelect.com. Listen, I'll tell you what I reported yesterday. They have been a little slow to renew some of these deals. And I've got more details today on a New Japan talent who's been speaking with American companies, coming to FightfulSelect.com. Best $6 a month in the business. Get your news direct from the source. But yes, I will have more news on that. Who are indie talent you are shocked aren't signed? Man.
Matt Cardona?
Matt Cardona a little bit, but like as far as that haven't had national exposure, Michael Oku, Ben Bishop, who is actually
really big online,
did a skit yesterday about the 5-star thing that people were burying.
Yes.
But like, I think that Ben Bishop's going to get a lot of acting roles too. Like when you look back and you see Kurgan and Nathan Jones and the roles that they filled, he could fill those really well. It's one thing to have a big dude. It's one thing to have a big dude the size of a pro wrestler like that. And Kurgan and Nathan Jones carved out pretty good movie careers for themselves. So he's one that I always look at and say, yeah, probably him.
Bishop's got great comedic timing too.
Yeah, he does. Bishop is so funny. He's such a funny dude. But Maya World is another one that I look at and I'm like, yeah, she'll probably end up getting signed. She was on Dynamite last week and actually was on In the Weeds yesterday. So yeah, lots of cool stuff there. JM Melagrito says the discourse on regarding Moose's appearance in NXT seems to be negative, saying this could open Tessa Blanchard to come to NXT. Any thoughts? Jimmy, I would not rule out Tessa Blanchard appearing in NXT. Listen, Moose's past with domestic violence. First off, I'll say this. It's not something he's ever run from. I've spoken to him about it directly because I wouldn't have interviewed him otherwise, unless that were the case. And it's something that I've spoken with him about directly. And of course he's not something he's proud of, but the Tessa Blanchard thing, like the reality is, Jimmy, had she just said sorry and made amends with those people 5 years ago, she'd be in WWE right now. Like they would have loved to have had her back then.
AEW probably as well, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there were people that pushed for her in 2019 and in AEW, and AEW was like, nah.
Yep.
But I know that she didn't make a good impression at the Mae Young Classic, and whether or not that can be adjusted based on this opportunity, this is a golden opportunity for Tessa Blanchard to show that she can, like, sort of, mind her P's and Q's, and I think there is a pathway to WWE, whether people like that or not.
Yeah, I mean, the Moose thing, I think it's an interesting matchup, Moose and Obafemi. And Tessa Blanchard, I agree with you. I mean, Tessa, how many times do I talk about presence? She's got that, man. You know what I mean? But I agree with you in terms of owning up to it. You know what would be great? Is if they brought her in and her first match puts over Chelsea Green clean in the middle of the ring. That'd be awesome. I mean,
assuming Chelsea Green would work with her.
Right. Assuming Chelsea, but Chelsea's a pro.
Because
I bet you should.
Chelsea is a pro. In my conversations with Chelsea, she had never wanted to see that woman.
I mean,
unless there was an effort made.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That'd be interesting.
This is the thing that I always say when I compliment Tessa Blanchard is the thing that I feel like she does as well as any performer that I've seen in wrestling. She always feels like she's trying to win a match. And that is, I think, a lost art. I want to make sure to give him his shout. I think it was Frisco, Lost Frisco on Twitter, His handle or his display name is at Wave Meltzer, and he had a post that went viral saying, "What's your most old head wrestling take?" I think that's probably one of mine up there. Like, you should always look like you're trying to win a match. I think that closed fist punches should be illegal in pro wrestling because you see them knock out people in MMA all the time, but you never see it happen in WWE. If closed fist punches aren't illegal, why are you chopping people? Like, that's the whole point of a chop. You're opening up your hand. I think finishers should be protected more. And I think that people should always look like they're trying to win a match.
So what did you think of the people's elbow?
I didn't like it when I was a kid. No,
that's why I'm
hated it.
That's why I'm asking. And I saw a clip go viral recently where MJF had Dustin Rhodes. Did you see it? Dustin was sitting on the canvas. MJF ran back and forth four or five times. Yeah. And then all he did was just kind of push his thigh into him. And it might have been Bischoff that said the point's supposed to be to win a match, I think.
Yeah.
So what do you think of a spot like that? Because MJF's character is a dick, right?
Well, so was Rock's character. Rock's character was that he was a huge dick.
But he did it as a babyface too.
He did, but that doesn't matter. He was always a dick.
Right.
So as I got older, I was like, okay, this is this person quite literally putting an exclamation point on it. In MJF's case, he was showing that he has zero concerns about this performer. So, like, obviously context is important. Like a Colt Cabana versus Toru Yano match, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh my God, his shoulders are already on the mat. Why isn't he going for a lateral press? Obviously it's going to be a little bit different, but with it, like, I think one of the great things that Tessa did do, especially in her last run, if she was in a title match, there was none of that. She wasn't doing any of that.
Right.
The people's elbow, I looked at, I was like, well, he's being a dick. So that's his thing. But
for me, one of the ones I've always hated is when they hook the leg to the point that the guy, they're not covering the guy at all because they're hooking the leg. So their body is too far down on them hooking the leg. And there's been a lot of pictures over the years going back 20, 30 years. This isn't new, where you'll see a guy hooking the leg on another guy. And from the waist up, he's completely uncovered. Just laying there with the, and I've always, I think Lance Storm called it at one time. And he's like, this looks dumb. Like, the guy could very easily raise a shoulder, but they're too focused on hooking the leg.
So yeah, that is, I think, gosh, it was Danny who I follow on Twitter has talked about weak roll-ups. I hate weak schoolboy roll-ups. First off, I don't like schoolboy roll-ups in general. Mm. You almost never see them. Like, the foundation I came from was catch wrestling. And you almost would never see a roll-up pin there. Can they plausibly work in pro wrestling? Sure. But not when there's no weight on the thighs pushing down on the shoulder. That is a big issue for me. When somebody's just got to lay there and kick their legs, kicking your legs isn't the thing. Just move up your shoulder a little bit.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Lots of that. So Joel Wood sent a super chat, which... Joel, I love you. You're sort of tiptoeing around the lines of our Discord, but it gives me an opportunity to plug our Discord. He says, could you expand on a bit of the frustration in WWE? Is it Royal Rumble 2022 level or frustrations about certain things? So here's the deal. Here's subscribe to Fightful Select, $6 a month. We have access to a Discord. I answer questions in the Ask SRS thing over there. Now, one of the things is we don't allow those to be aggregated. If you aggregate them, you're out, you're gone. But somebody asked about women's booking. And I said, yes, I have spoken with plenty of women in WWE who are frustrated about the booking of the women. This is not a new thing. Mm. It's nowhere near Royal Rumble 2022 level. Royal Rumble 2022 level, I can only compare to a few different things. The Fiend and Seth Rollins night was one of them where I had people contact me. And then a COVID era situation where... people at the PC said, don't talk to dirt sheets. And a bunch of people said, they ain't going to tell me who the fuck to talk to and then talk to me. Royal Rumble 2022 was so bad that I developed sources because of how bad it was booked. This is nowhere near that. But there has been a situation where a women's WWE performer has reached out to me and said, dude, can you find out if I'm listed internally as a heel or a babyface? And I'm like, damn, okay. I know there have been some Mania pitches that have been rejected because people are like token tag matches aren't something that they want to do. They want things put on a more even plane in the women's division. Like they want, okay, well, the contracts are going up. The viewership is adjusted accordingly for when women are on screen. It's not the sideshow or anything like that. It's a part of the show. You're adding more titles, add more matches, all that stuff. There's a lot of people that have been parked. Like, for example, I'm not going to say Natalia is frustrated. They signed Natalia. They wanted to keep Natalia. They had creative plans for Natalia. And then what's Natalia done since then?
Mm-hmm. Lost in the first round of the Intercontinental title tournament.
And then hasn't done anything, hasn't been on NXT, hasn't been doing anything. Yeah. Those are the things that I'm like, there's not that element of where a lot of the men not only have one thing going on, they got a lot of different things going on. And that's just not the way that it's been for the women. And I don't know if that's a Triple H thing or what, but yeah.
WWE for me over the last while, and SmackDown first, but now Raw, if I'm being honest, Sean, I find a lot of it to be boring, to be stale. Yeah. Do you feel the same way, that WWE feels stale?
Yeah, they don't move on from mid-card feuds either. And it's like they can do better than that. They can do better than that because we've watched them do it with the men. Like,
right.
And there are so many stories that have been done to death for the men that if you do it with the women, it's got a fresh approach to it. But yeah.
Like how many times have we seen on both brands where you'll have a talent that they don't push well, they have them essentially be like glorified enhancement, but then next thing you know, they put them in a program and you're supposed to care.
Yeah.
So like Shinsuke Nakamura, he got beat by Rollins. He got beat by everybody basically. And then all of a sudden he beats LA Knight for the Intercontinental title and you're supposed to think it's a big deal. And the same thing with say like a Pete Dunne, who whenever he's on television, he loses. And now you got him with Penta again. You know what I mean? Like I feel the same way, but pretty deadly on SmackDown.
So that's a long-term time issue I've had with AEW. It's like, they'll have Brian Cage walk out onto the stage and be like, yeah, here I am. I'm coming for you. I'm like, y'all don't have him win matches.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because it matters.
It does.
And it's like Pretty Deadly against DIY or Pretty Deadly against Motor City Machine Guns. Why should I care? They lose every single time they're on television. Why should I care? And I find that this stuff is dragging down the show. And then same thing with Lyra and Chelsea. They won those titles and now they're losing all the time as mid-card champions.
Yeah, like, 21 title belts under the umbrella of WWE.
Yeah, I saw the ID ones.
21.
Yeah.
Meet Normus says SR Bengals and Jimmy Maple Leaf on the hump. Will Randy Starks, Tony Stark, Robbie Nola, Ricky Saints go to the main roster after Mania? Well, we're going to go ahead and answer a couple of these because we got what kind of name is Ricky Saints. And then we have Jay Polanco says Ricky Saints is a terrible name. Don't know why others like Ethan Page can keep their name. Ricky Starks gets changed. Let's call this the hump with Sean Ross Bengals and Jimmy Maple Leaf. So I am still
that's insulting. Maple Leaf.
I'm a Maple Leafs fan.
Jimmy Oilers. Jimmy Oilers.
By proxy. But I'm still working on finding this out. I had reported last week on the post NXT show. It was not an accident. They did not call him by that name. But like, I fully believed yesterday it was going to be like just a Ricky Starks reveal of Ricky Starks. Because that's WWE has mastered the art of getting a reaction for absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, how many times do like, and you'll see this, you'll never be able to unsee it. On NXT, it happens all the time. Two girls will get in the ring and just go up to each other's face and be like, yeah, yeah. And look at the crowd and all that stuff. And nothing will, it won't even be a match that like anybody cares about. It'll just be one of those, but they've really mastered that. And I thought for sure they'd be like, and you know, he's Ricky Starks. And they would cut to all the streamers being like, shit, whoa, it's really him. We didn't know. But I don't think Ricky Saints is that bad. It's New Orleans influenced. Listen, what I would have maybe not done is not name him after the team that's involved in a giant sex scandal right now. I would probably not do that, given
I mean, it's not necessarily after the team. Like, the Saints is like a New Orleans thing, but
that's who everybody thinks associates
with. You're right.
With it. Yeah, they though. Do. Like,
so you don't know at this point if this is a trademark issue, IP issue, or if they're.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'll see what I can find. I got an interesting story for you, though. Not for on the air.
All right,
but it's very interesting, but. Ish sends a very generous super chat and says, what are your thoughts on the many IWC reports talking of Mania matches as facts rather than what's going on? Like, they're teasing AJ Braun. There's reports of Finn AJ happening at Mania. So listen, I feel for my dude Wrestle Votes. I feel for him because he gets the same thing that all of us get when we're on the shows and people aggregate every single thing that they say. So I believe that he's like, yeah, that's been discussed as like a first time match. But people will take that, aggregate it for their engagement because they create nothing on their own. And then they'll be like, this is happening at Mania, first time. I think it is a fine WrestleMania match if they do it. AJ versus Braun, it'd be surprising to me if they could stretch that out for over 2 months. So I don't think that necessarily what you're seeing teased on TV in mid-February is what's going to happen in Las Vegas on WrestleMania in late April. But it would be weird of me if they did Finn and AJ after they fired the Good Brothers.
Right.
That's weird.
I don't think Finn and AJ would have a lot of marquee. I think AJ Braun's
they
got...
don't need to be the marquee. They could be fifth or sixth down on the show.
Well, I know. But I think there'd be more interest in AJ Braun, I think.
Yeah, I mean, probably even on a Mania level, but I'll say this, man. Finn had a great performance outside of the late kickout the other night.
Right.
And his theme grew on me as well. But it's WrestleMania season, man. Like, on our Q&As on Fightful Select, which I do every week, I have to put a note in there now because so many of the questions are, do you know the Mania plans for 4-4-4? Guys, any Mania plans that we've...
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Reported. Not only, like, I know that if they don't do straight up Punk and Roman, I'll get people burying me. But Punk's opponent has changed like 3 or 4 different times that they had planned. And it's going to keep changing. They did a literal documentary, Jimmy, about how the WrestleMania plans changed last year. Then they changed the release date of that documentary. So, yes, things do adjust and things do change. And I know it's, listen, we grew up in... I feel like a lot of landscapes of media where people spoke indefinites and had a problem with saying, I don't have the answer to that. And I think that more people should say, I don't have the answer to that.
Do you think McIntyre Priest is still in the cards? Because it seems like they're playing off the Rumble with McIntyre and Knight now.
It's 2.5 months away.
Yeah.
2.5 months away. That's all I can say.
Promo-wise, I'd much prefer McIntyre Knight. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, but then the bell's going to ring.
I mean, Drew can.
Drew's
can
great.
Carry.
LA is fine. He's,
yeah,
but like, what? They could have that match on SmackDown.
They could,
and it would be fine. Like, LA Knight is really good at like cable TV wrestling, especially. Mm. And like, I actually like that he started to do the elbow drop after his finish. I think it's very smart. But like, and I'm not taking a shot at LA Knight about the bell will ring. I'm just saying, like, people like Damian Priest and Drew sometimes have like the MJF thing going for them where people forget how great they are in the ring. They're both really good. RJ Suburb says Swerve versus Hanger versus MJF for the next 6 months for the belt, freeing up all other main event talent to spend the next 6 months designed to get over the mid card and multi-person titles divisions. Good strategy. I think we are headed towards something with MJF and Swerve probably later in the year would make a lot of sense to me. Hangman's always going to be involved in something important. And even if it doesn't appear important, it will be important.
He says for the belt. So does that mean they're taking Mox off? They're taking one of these guys is taking it off Mox.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think they keep it on Mox. Honestly, outside of the weird finish at Grand Slam, listen, I think what they're doing is building up Death Riders as like this unstoppable force. So there's not going to be a lot of give and take. Then whoever beats him appears to be the new unstoppable force. Mm. If I were AEW, what I would do, all due respect to those three gentlemen you mentioned, they have all been world champions and I could see that happening, but I would pivot to Kenny Omega. I would not have Kenny Omega or Will Ospreay lose a thing for a very long time. And I would have Kenny Omega win that title. I would have Christian try to cash in on him and he beats him too. And then they just win. And then eventually those two clash and they face each other.
They clash
and they face each other and they have a match between two very over winners. Then you're like, who's going to win this match? Oh my God.
Is that how you feel a lot when you watch pro wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's a lot of that. I think Logan Paul's Mania opponent is in the Elimination Chamber with him and will all be set up during the match. If so, who do you think it will be? If not Cena, I could see him getting involved with something involving Rey Mysterio. Like I could actually see him teaming with New Day and doing something like against Rey, Penta, and somebody else. And adding some stuff to that. Rey is almost a celebrity wrestler at this point. People in that community love Rey.
Yeah, everybody knows who Rey is. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of, and I agree with him. What did you think of Omega's commentary about Logan Paul?
It's like a year ago.
Was it really?
Yeah. But it's true. It's true. Like
he didn't mean anything by it. He was just saying,
it was like, him saying like, can't put him in the G1. A great New Japan match every single week. Story of Logan Paul and Tiffany Stratton is Logan trying to get attention. I think it's all work, but we'll see. It's like apparently Logan Paul offered her advice or something like
that. And then she no-showed his show. Canceled last
week. Yeah. Shotgun Sean says, as long as you can erect, that's what matters. Well, listen, I'm going to help you erect a better bank account thanks to NordVPN. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Nord has been a great utility. I am so close to canceling my YouTube TV as a result of what Nord provides me. But we got a bunch of super chats and humper chats. New Lack City says, my mistake, Jimmy Van Oilers. Heavy Metal Chris says, Sean, after the Australia show, I think the wrestling world needs to know, does flying to Australia make your ring smaller too? What's happening? With all that's happening in the world, just wanted to say hi. And to everyone that's struggling, you are needed. I appreciate that, Heavy Metal Chris. We appreciate you, man. As long as you can erect it. Well, I read that one. Hey, fellas, sorry if this is a late ask. Any idea if Ricky's name select was a personal IP choice versus Ethan Jade Jordan Spears MCMG? I am working on it, I promise. It's puzzling to me, but yeah, and I don't know if Ricky Starks is like his shoot name or not. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, there's no other ring, his other names isn't like on online. There are a number of wrestlers that I know that people think that their ring name is their shoot name, and they like it that way. They like the privacy associated with that, but I'm working on it.
One thing I will say is that he was on Busted Open, and he basically indicated that he had say into the name that they went with.
Sure.
So yeah, he didn't say why he's not Starks, but he did say that he had say into Saint. So
updates on Ty Conti. She was in line to be a star before all the Sammy hate. I don't think it has anything to do with Sammy. She had her baby and she was on maternity leave. And the reality of the situation in AEW is a lot of times when you're out of sight, you are also out of mind, and you just look at Scorpio Sky. And that's not the way it should be, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's like ready to return. She did that match last month in Japan where she teamed with Mina Shirakawa, and it went pretty well. I mean, it was fine. First match back wasn't like a barn burner or anything, but I have not heard her brought up outside of her training and all that. I think they should consolidate some titles. I've long thought they should do women's world tag team titles in AEW, have them go back and forth between AEW and ROH when convenient. But yeah. Things of Comics says Road to WrestleMania isn't the same without Roman. Yeah, I mean,
so far it's been pretty bland. I mean, I couldn't believe on SmackDown Cody ran out to jump Solo.
Yeah.
I was like, again, you know, like it's pretty bland.
Peyton Carter says Momo Watanabe has been in the crowd at Grand Slam. It's interesting because she and Mercedes have great chemistry. Do you see that match happening at Revolution? Who do you think dethrones Tony Storm? Oh man, the Tony Storm thing. Like, I could very well see it being Mariah again. Like, right now that's the hot hand. It depends on who is the hot hand. I could see maybe it being Mercedes down the line. Like, I could see a lot of those as a possibility. As far as the Watanabe thing, like, I could see it happening probably like for New Japan or something like that. Like one of those combined shows, or maybe like they end up working out something for Strong or something like it. Cause I mean, they face each other in DC last year. It was on my birthday. Yeah, it was last year. So like, I could see it happening somewhere like that. I haven't heard that it's happening at Revolution. That doesn't mean it's not happening at Revolution. If I were AEW, I'd put her against a familiar AEW talent in order to put some asses in seats there. Cause listen, all due respect to Watanabe, like the American audience, first off, they'll find out how good she is, but a lot of times they don't know how good these talent are.
And Tony, I imagine, is going to have a run for a while, unless, like you said, it goes back to Mariah. Otherwise, yeah. Magic's gonna have a run.
I could see them doing a quick switch as well. I think there are a lot of options. Thoughts on Gunther's World Heavyweight title reign? He hit the 200-day mark today. Feels underwhelming besides Orton and Sammy matches. I feel like everybody always says this. Like, and that's where I think like it's hard for anybody to win. Because Jimmy, if the reign is short and the title changes, people will be like, well, that reign sucked. If it goes long, there's not a lot of like really compelling opponent. People kind of know, oh, well, this person's not going to lose this title right now.
Right.
But he's had the Damian Priest match. He had Randy Orton, Sami Zayn, Priest again. He had Priest and Balor and Jey Uso.
Yeah.
The Jey Uso match was okay. Balor and Priest was pretty good. There haven't been like insane matches that I've thought of since then.
Orton and Sammy, like they said, were probably the ones that seemed the most important.
Yeah. I mean, but, a little underwhelming in the ring, I would say.
But look at Cody's reign. Has it knocked anybody? Has it blown anybody away?
But then look at the matches that he had, though. He had that. He had great ones with AJ. Great one with Gunther. Like, there were some, like, really good matches there. Like, I feel like we are in that era of, like, you don't believe that the title could change hands a month after somebody won it, you know? And you kind of got to get back to that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not everything needs to be a super long reign. People don't look at Stone Cold Steve Austin and say, well, his WrestleMania moment didn't mean anything because he lost it to Kane 2 months later. Right? Like, yeah. Or
and then he would lose on a pay-per-view, win it back the next night on Raw. That
happened. Yeah, like that happened all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Jimmy nervous about the Four Nations tomorrow?
No. So if I'm being honest, I don't want to go 10 minutes about this, but the Canada is not icing the best team. It was very political.
Well, Jimmy.
And they're not icing the best team.
I just want to look you dead in the eye and say, when I'm at your house, I'm going to play the American National Anthem. And if you boo,
I'm not going to boo it.
Living fuck out of you.
You know what? This has been a thing on
I don't care.
Media.
I do not give a shit.
So let me say when I do. So
okay,
during a normal game, whatever it is, what it is. Game one of the First Nations, I'm assuming that you probably haven't been watching. Game one of the
correct.
First Nations, I figured, they did a thing at Center Ice before the game where they brought out all the captains. Two of the captains were playing in the game. The other two were in street clothes because they weren't playing that night. One of the captains that they brought out that wasn't playing was Team USA's captain, Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews is just there for a Center Ice thing. And they introduce him and the whole crowd shit all over him. Because he's Team USA's captain. And I just saw that thinking, that's kind of bullshit. And people online were saying, well, it's Montreal. You know, Montreal fans, Sean. You know, they don't mince words. But I don't know. I think it's a bit much. The players have nothing to do with political decisions that you might not like. But it is what it is.
Joker says, Taker and Jake talked about sneaking under the ring, how they don't need to go down the ramp anymore. What's the new way to get someone under the ring? Sometimes they have
a cart
build-ups, and so usually they'll have carts that will take people there. There's also a guy that like chills under the ring like the whole time too sometimes.
Well, I saw a clip when Kevin was talking to that guy. Kevin was under the ring and he was talking to that guy.
Yeah. So. Which has got to be horrifying first off, like
with all
to just hear all that stuff, but they got a monitor under there and a lot of stuff like that.
Right.
Any word on Bray Wyatt going into the Hall of Fame this year? Not that I've heard as of yet. Didn't take long to get over Io Sky and Gunther. Ricky Saints will be fine. The way things cycle, people will be upset about something else in 2 days. I spoke to somebody today about, they were like, I need your advice on this. Like, I'm getting shit for it. I said, I think it was something you told me. It was like a Mariah Carey quote or something.
Yes.
Today it's in the news. Tomorrow they're wrapping dead fish with it.
That's right.
Yep. One time Deonna Purrazzo was freaking out because she used the wrong kind of emoji and people were mad about it. And I was like, ain't nobody going to care about this tomorrow.
Yep, it's true.
Nico says, in your opinions, would the WWE tag team division be better with only one set of belts spread across three brands? Three brands? I wouldn't say that, but two brands for sure. Raw and SmackDown did not need to split their titles.
I agree.
It's very weird. And I also felt like one women's mid-card title would have been fine as
I agree with that too. Yep. Especially when you look at how both champions are being handled right now.
Yeah. Now I understand that also, I had somebody say, oh, well, what if there's two world titles and one mid card title, doesn't it make that the mid card title seem more prestigious than the others? To that, I say, good. Make it seem that way. Whatever people want to imagine.
Mm.
Bill says the AEW women's division is getting hot at the moment. What's next for Harley Cameron? She was a star at Grand Slam. This is the big question, Jimmy. This is what I'm looking at tonight. And on Collision, what is next for Harley Cameron? They need to have the what's next ready for her. If it is her going up to some like really mean, serious wrestler and like having a Megan Bain puppet and it just doesn't say anything the whole time, like that'd be funny. Like there's a lot of opportunities that she can do. And she is in the Chelsea Green role of she's charismatic and comedic and doesn't have to win to be over. Like, she can go right back down. And like, I think there's an opportunity to play off of her and Mercedes in the future, where Mercedes is like, I really thought this would make you better, but it didn't. What happened to you? Type of thing. Like, there are creative ways to play off of this, Jimmy.
How are they not selling those puppets?
They need to be. I would imagine those, the turnaround was probably, yeah, they need to sell them immediately.
I mean, going into Grand Slam, I expected she was going to lose. But like you said, they have to be careful they don't stifle her momentum, because she's got the potential to be a big star in that company. Mercedes obviously is better in the ring, but Harley beats Mercedes in other ways. Like, she's a better promo. Yeah. I think she does better character work. But they, like you said, like, they, she's got to be on Dynamite tonight. You can't leave her off. She's got to be on Dynamite, and she's got to be utilized in an effective way. She's someone, can you imagine if they put her on like the Tonight Show or Hot Wings? She would crush it.
Hot Ones. Yeah, for sure.
Hot Ones. She would crush it doing that stuff, but they have to make sure that they don't stifle that momentum.
We got plenty of super chats left. We will keep Jimmy here as long as we can. If not, I will get to the super chats and upper chats. Reminder, I do this every week on Fightful Select as well. Best $6 a month in the business. Do you see women getting on the main roster, getting better booking retrospective to the NXT women's booking, as in NXT booking and the positivity around it could influence main roster? I just want to say this. NXT is not my kind of show. And it's not because of the booking of the women. I love how prominently the women are booked. Back-to-back segments. Like there is no, like, formula there. They're just like, you know what? We're going to bank on these women, and we're going to book them accordingly. That's how I do wish it should be done, or were done in SmackDown, Raw, AEW, all that stuff as well. That's something I think they should really take from. As long as they don't take, like, the promo styles and the backstage segments and the deliveries and stuff like that, completely fine with it. But these women get the opportunity to really cultivate emotion from an audience, Jimmy. Like, by the time Jada Parker reaches the top of NXT, she is going to have a fan base that cares about her personality, cares about her moves, cares about what she has been through to get there. And that's something that NXT has done way better than everybody else, in my opinion.
So I understand the idea, and again, Chelsea Green talks about this. I understand the idea of maximize every minute that you get, right? And yeah. Somebody like Tiffany Stratton, I think, did that on the main roster, and now she's one of the biggest women stars in the company. Why do you think that, think about some of the NXT people that have come up, women that have come up over the last, say, year. Blair Davenport, they did the big draft, remember? And they have her sitting at NXT, and they announce that she's drafted, and everybody cheers and hugs her. After that, they did nothing with her. And Lyra. So Lyra was kind of hot and cold. They would put her over, then they wouldn't. They'd put her over, then they wouldn't. Now she's got the Intercontinental title, and she lost in the Elimination Chamber qualifier. Like, they haven't really done a ton with her. Why do you think it is that the previous generation, if you want to call them the previous era, the Beckys, the Charlottes, the Sasha Banks, the Baileys, were brought to the main roster and really put in a strong, prominent position. But now a lot of the women that come up, it's hit or miss. Do you think, and again, you could say that it's on the talent to a degree, but somebody like Blair never got the opportunity. So what do you think that's about?
I just think that, especially in WWE, you have a lot of people running it that are probably, obviously, they're more open to the idea that women can draw, but there's probably still that little bit in their head, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's always a self-fulfilling prophecy. You don't know if they'll be able to draw appropriately if you don't book them right, and if you don't book them right, they won't be able to draw.
Right.
I think there's some of that stuck in their head. I do. Right.
Do you think that Tiffany was given the opportunity because of the way she looks, and she's a former gymnast, and, you know, not
because she's good,
and because she is very good. Yeah.
I think if she wrestled like Lacey Evans, I don't think this regime gives her the opportunity.
Right.
She's just good. Like, she got it.
Do you think Roxanne Perez, do you think they're going to give her, cause she's one of, she's kind of one of the top people now coming out of NXT. Do you think
I had people in NXT saying, like, we know why she's here, but she doesn't need to be here straight from the jump, because she had already worked like ROH, TNA, some stuff like that. But that ended up being good for her. She got her bearings underneath her. She got to spend every day at the PC, learned WWE style, learn where their cameras are, all that goofy shit. But yeah, she also got a lot of chance to like really stretch her legs from a creative standpoint and do the heel thing. Cause there were people that thought she would never be heel. So yeah. Sir Brendo says, any thoughts on the Michael Cole interview? I've only watched like a third of it, but I enjoyed it. I always like hearing that about Michael Cole. He's a very honest guy. So love hearing that.
I want to read a quote from that interview and get your thoughts on it.
Sure.
So this is a direct quote that Michael Cole told Logan Paul. He said, we're a storytelling entity first. We're not professional wrestling anymore. We haven't been for many years. We're an entertainment product. We need stories so our fans can emotionally invest in our characters. What are your thoughts on him saying we're not professional wrestling anymore?
They are. That's it. They are. I mean, ultimately, you get people to care and to invest so they will pay to watch the matches. Because WrestleMania isn't cinema mania or storyline mania. It's WrestleMania. Ultimately,
yeah, I look at it like
getting people to do.
Until they get rid of the ring, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be professional wrestling. And you know, the one thing about Cole in that interview, and he was honest,
if they get rid of the ring, watch their ratings plummet through the floor. Watch their viewership plummet.
But Cole was very honest in that interview in saying that he's a product of Vince McMahon. He said, Vince McMahon brought me in. I was brand new to wrestling. He was able to kind of mold me into what he wanted me to be as an announcer. And so you could see Cole using the Vince McMahon Sports Entertainment. You could see him kind of going down that mindset. But, and it is, you know, we talked about this. WWE is more storyline entertainment driven compared to AEW, but it's still pro wrestling. Like two people have an issue and they settle it in the ring. That's what wrestling is. Or their stakes going for a championship.
Do I think that Ricky Starks' name change has something to do with Zoe Starks? I hope not, because I don't give a shit. Tell me they're cousins. Like, who cares, right? Like, it shouldn't, but it probably does. You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird.
They got other wrestlers now with a similar first or last name.
Yeah, so, Braun and Braun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jordan Grace, Ariana Grace, I guess.
Yeah. You know?
So,
that'd be cool to see them as cousins. So yeah. BL says, could you see a Survivor Series PLE with TNA versus NXT? Yes, I could. I think they should do something like that Survivor Series weekend and do one. And I think TNA should go over as a goodwill gesture as well. How many names you've heard for the Hall of Fame? Just the one announced or the ones?
Two.
Have you heard of a WWE PLE in Japan this year? I've not. I'd be surprised if they do that anytime soon. Is there heat on the referee for his botch? Referee didn't botch. Finn botched. He kicked out late. No heat. I mean, this is the same ref that got fined at WrestleMania 5 years ago as well for the Charlotte Becky thing, but no heat that I've heard. Or Corey Graves, WWE, now good with each other. As best I know, they like him there. Penta masks are $72. Sell the damn CEO puppet. That's what I'm saying. Like, they were selling turnbuckles for $150 at the WrestleMania store, and people were buying them.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would have them signed. It would be $200. Like, people will buy these premium items, especially puppets.
And there were complaints again about merch at Grand Slam Australia. I saw online there were complaints about it again. So they still haven't figured it out.
Somebody asking if it was an early release condition by AEW. No, this is me speculating. I would imagine there's non-disparagements associated in those deals, those early releases. But like, I don't know if that's like his name or not. But still, he used it well before AEW. They would not have any ability to really keep it. Like, they don't own the trademark. He trademarked it himself. So yeah, it's not possible. If AJ is leaving, I can see why he would want to end it with Finn, considering their Bullet Club history, better story to tell. Yeah, there is, but they got rid of two of the guys that would be important to telling that story for no reason. You don't need Carl Anderson wrestling to tell that story. Mm-hmm. You can just have him there. Now, granted, he's still under contract for the next 70 or so days, but you think he's going to roll in there? No, if I were him, I would say, no, buddy, you pay me extra and I'll do it. But I could see them doing this for sure. Any word on Matt Taven? I have not. He's not wrestled at all this year. He's not appeared since the Undisputed Kingdom reunion, which I don't think Kingdom were supposed to be a part of, but I've not heard anything. We got Rock Hard Joel Woods saying, match quality wise, I think Cody's had one of the best WWE world title reigns in years. Well, I mean, the other option is Roman's reign, which is largely a storytelling thing.
Yeah.
And then Seth, which you know, I think was good as well.
Yeah, Roman's is good.
I think his is good. Now, we got a couple that are kind of tied together. Ryan and Jay Polanco. Ryan says, Sean, did you hear Ricky's interview on Busted Open After Dark last night? He got into his AEW exit and mentioned that there were AEW veterans poking their nose in creative business. Do you know more? And Jay Polanco says, thoughts on Bully wanting to do the one-on-one weird debates with fans. Seems like trash behavior. Tired of him constantly talking down to fans, customers that help make him rich. That's, listen, I don't know Bully Ray personally, but it's clear like that's the angle he wants to do. And if he thinks that it's going to draw attention, he's going to keep doing it. If it gets me super chats of you talking about it, well, then I imagine it probably gets him the right type of attention that he wants and he is after.
I mean, the clips go viral.
Yeah. I know that. So first off, the Busted Open thing, they're given a lot by WWE. They have their own setup at Royal Rumble weekend and at media events and all that. Now they've got the talent coming straight onto their show. So I know that Busted Open specifically asks for something newsworthy. That way it gets attention. I wouldn't expect Ricky Starks to talk much more in a negative fashion about AEW. I just wouldn't. Because everybody that I talked to said that he was very much like, just want to leave it amicable as possible. Because there were people in AEW that acted like his Chris Van Vliet interview was like, shocking and horrible. And I was like, that guy didn't really say anything bad.
Yeah.
Like this situation is so different than Phoenix, Danhausen, Miro, all the Penta, all those guys. And even Danhausen's been positive about it. Like he's just going out and making his money. But Ricky was just like, not being used. Wish I was used. Don't know why I'm not being used. Here's the truth of the situation. And he got fucked around pretty oddly with them picking up the option. But I think, if I were a betting man, I would say that he probably looks at the Cody method and follows that, because he is going to be asked about this in every single interview he does for at least a year. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend of mine ask me for advice on interviewing Cody recently. And I said, don't ask him about AEW. You want to be different? Don't ask him about that. We're talking 2 Royal Rumble wins, 2 WrestleMania main events, world title run, big injury later. Don't ask him about AEW. It's all been asked. With Ricky, he's got to go through that. And he is going to find out which of the people that are speaking with him, what exactly they're after. And I think that was I think that's probably as bad as it's going to get, is that interview.
And like you said, I saw the interview. He kept it high level. There's only a couple things I can think of where he was in any way critical, and even then he kind of kept it high level. One was when he was talking about the veterans, and he didn't name names, and the other when he said he resigned, and then there was no communication. He said like communication went cold. That's really it. Like otherwise, there was really nothing in there, you know, in terms of him knocking the competition. So I agree with you. Every interview he does, he's going to get asked, and now they're going to be like, oh, who were the veterans? Who were the veterans? I don't think he's going to say anything, but that's what it is.
JJ Palmer says,
sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. All right. We only got a couple more left, so I'll take care of them.
Okay.
Any news on the 3-hour SmackDown? I've heard that they plan to run it like through the spring months, but I haven't heard anything following that. I mean, Talent actually like it from the people I've talked to, because they get more of an opportunity over there. Cadillac Carson says, interestingly enough, on NXT, ratings go up a lot during the NXT women's segment. Women are presented as important, and it reflects in the ratings. Perception is reality. Cadillac Carson, I'm so glad you said this. Perception is reality. That's why, like, when people, I'll say, put the Andre Battle Royal on the pre-show of Mania night one, night two. Men one night, women the next night. People go, well, it doesn't mean anything. No, it means as much as you tell the audience it means. If you condition people on this scripted show and they accept eventually what you're giving them, it means exactly as much as what you tell them. And that goes a long way. It's very, very important. And if women are presented as important, then that goes a long way. And it's something in WWE where I think they did a little bit better. They had Ivy Nile go up and challenge Lyra a couple times, had her eliminate her from the Rumble. And like I said on Monday, I saw a lot of people say, well, why'd she eliminate her from the Rumble? Well, to me, if they weren't going to have her win matches to get to the title shot, I am glad that they at least said, well, that's enough to get her in the top contendership match. I like that. So that's a little bit of improvement. DJ Kess says, shout out to you guys at Fightful doing incredible work. I'm officially in wrestling referee training for AMLW or AML. I love AML. Out of North Carolina, DJ Kess. Is that where? I hope so. Love that. First off, love Winston-Salem, North Carolina. There are like two places I could live in besides Lexington, Kentucky at this point. One is somewhere in Florida, and another one is in North Carolina. I love North Carolina. What a beautiful place. And I love Winston-Salem specifically. Tracy of WrestleCade is so good to us. So good to us. If you guys don't go to WrestleCade at least one time in your life, you're missing out. Like, not an ad, but they do shows, they do meet and greets, they do all kinds of events, panels, all kinds of stuff. It is so good. Guys, I just want to say thank you all. You've been showing up for these shows an awful lot. Man, this time of year, cold weather, we just want to keep you company. Just want to keep you company, by God. Rock hard Joel Wood getting one in here. Anything on the difference between Raw and SmackDown? Seems Raw gets more positive reactions than SmackDown, which wasn't really the case in 2024. Well, I mean, there were some pretty big changes there. You know, Roman Reigns was primarily a SmackDown guy at the beginning parts of that month. They were concluding a major story on that show. Raw now has the aura of Netflix associated with it. And I think that that goes a long way. Again, perception is reality. Raw is more of the A show now that things have adjusted. And I mean, gosh, it's weird to think Raw not being on the USA Network anymore. But now Raw is on the bigger platform. And that goes an awful long way. Super card of honor update. I don't see a super chat from you at all. I'm sorry, but I've not heard anything other than it not being WrestleMania week. That's the latest I've heard. And I'm glad you're at AML or AMLW. Why do I keep saying AMLW? Because of MLW. That's why. By the way, shout out to Mr. Thomas signing a new deal as reported by Fightful Select. Arabian Knight says, think this new NXT faction needs a leader. I'd love to see Matt Cardona being a top guy. Do you see Jonathan Gresham in NXT? I think Jonathan Gresham should be in NXT. They would benefit greatly from him. He's worked in AEW, New Japan, ROH, TNA. So he's worked TV everywhere. Guy can teach people an awful lot. Like, I love to go back and watch his Octopus Academy videos. He's very, very good. He can work a variety of styles. Obviously, can help people out with nutrition, training, a lot of things like that. I would love to see Matt Cardona back in NXT with WWE because he can teach people a lot of things like that as well. I would probably do a TNA name. I would have a TNA name do that. That'd be cool. Guys, thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I just want to say that I appreciate you guys so much. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Please. Till next time, we're out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Tanger Outlets, find hundreds of brands at unbeatable value. Save big on outerwear, must-have handbags, active essentials, classic favorites, footwear, and more up to 70% off. Shop Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. All the best brands, all on sale, every day. Only at Tanger Outlets.
Hey, basketball fans, ready for a slam dunk? Check out the Philly Cheesesteak Sub at Penn Station East Coast Subs. Juicy grilled steak, melted provolone, and sautéed veggies. Served any way you like on fresh baked bread. It's a game changer. Perfect for game day or any day. Head to Penn Station and score big with the Philly Cheesesteak Sub. Don't forget about our delicious fresh cut fries, made in-house freshly squeezed lemonade, and our irresistible chocolate chip cookies. Ordering online is an easy layup at penn-station.com. Or walk into your nearest Penn Station East Coast Subs today.